The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, January 2020, Volume 21. Number one, and this is the fifth of five installments in January. Oprah wears jeans and a baby blue oversized turtleneck sweater on this month's cover. Her hair is a natural mass of coils that's parted on the left and just brushes her shoulders. This month's headline is New Year's Evolution, my plan for living, being, and staying well. And in this fifth installment in January, we'll finish up the January issue, and then we'll go back and read several articles from the December issue. Your reader, unfortunately, was pretty sick and missed a few installments in December. So from January 2020, we have 2020 Visionaries. To celebrate 20 years of O, each month we're spotlighting remarkable people who could change the way we look at the world. And this month, under the heading The Mind-Body Maven, we have Kelly McGonigal, a best-selling author and research psychologist. McGonigal is also an alchemist, transforming scientific data into wisdom for better living. And we have a picture here of Kelly. And she has on a pale gray classic blazer over a soft gathered ivory blouse with a tie at the neck. And her straight strawberry blonde hair is parted in the middle and just barely brushes her shoulders. And her blue gray eyes accent her gray blazer. Kelly McGonigal, Ph.D., research psychologist and lecturer at Stanford University, is a passionate student of the mind and an unabashed believer in human potential. Part scientist, part storyteller, she translates the complexities of neuroscience into inspirational yet practical advice that helps people lead healthier, happier, more creative, abundant lives. In her 2013 TED Talk, How to Make Stress Your Friend, viewed more than 21 million times, and her 2015 book, The Upside of Stress, she makes a compelling, counterintuitive case for embracing stress as a force that can energize, connect, and strengthen us. Her latest book, The Joy of Movement, is what McGonigal calls a love letter to exercise, blending research, social anthropology, and first-person narratives of exercisers who discovered not just endorphin highs, but also the higher selves. She says, quote, I hope people put down the book and think, how marvelous, how miraculous we humans can be, end of quote. In this month's feature, The Road to Wellness, she helps us kick off the new year with strategies for cultivating resilience and joy. And we listened to The Road to Wellness in one of the early installments in January. So, the O staff says we challenged McGonigal to a round of 20 questions, and this is called the O quiz. First question, what's your no-fail motivational song? And her answer, Move Your Body by Sia. Second question, what's your guilty pleasure? And she says, buying vintage fashion magazines on eBay. The third question, what single person most changed your life? And Kelly's answer, Barry Moore, the director of the summer theater program I did as a kid. He showed me the power of seeing potential in every person and giving them a way to shine. Fourth question, what makes you brave? Kelly's answer, Tonglen meditation, in which you imagine breathing in the pain and suffering of others, allowing it to be transformed by a compassion bigger than yourself, and breathing out kindness, courage, and hope. And the fifth question, what the world needs now is, and Kelly says, more dance parties in public spaces. Six, what's your favorite place on earth? Kelly says, best friend's animal sanctuary in Kanab, Utah, where I got married. Number 7, what's your secret talent? Kelly says, matchmaking humans and cats as an adoption counselor. Number 8, when in your life have you needed courage? Every day. That's the reality of living with anxiety. Number 9, what movie could you watch on an endless loop? And her answer, Desperately Seeking Susan. Number 10, what's your worst habit? Googling things I'm worried about. Number 11, when is the last time you felt awe? And Kelly says, looking out my hotel room window late at night and watching New York City traffic while listening to John Coltrane. Number 12, if you could choose any magical power, what would it be? Kelly's answer, unlimited bladder capacity. Number 13, what historical event would you most like to have witnessed? And she says, the night in December 1946, when my grandfather met my grandmother at Wagner's Ballroom in Philadelphia and fell in love foxtrotting to Irving Berlin's Always. Number 14, what do you think about on long flights? And Kelly says, I'm singing along in my head to electronic dance and hip-hop music to distract myself from the turbulence. Number 15, what's the most beloved thing you own? She says, the worn-out chair from IKEA I've sat in to write all my books and have shipped cross-country twice. Number 16, what adventures are still on your bucket list? Her answer, to guest judge a vegan baking competition or a reality TV dance show. Do a mission with Good Gym, a London organization that combines running and community projects, and present an award at one of my alma maters, Boston University and Stanford University, to a young person making a difference in the world. 17, what's something you hope you never have to face? She says, life without my identical twin sister, Jane. Number 19, what's the greatest gift we can give one another? She says, the benefit of the doubt. And finally, number 20, what's the greatest gift we can give ourselves? She says, choosing to be of use in the world in a way that lights us up and feeds our soul. And now here we are in our fifth installment. And we're going to look at the weigh-in. We've listened to 4 installments so far, so we've listened to most of the magazine. And this is our take, the readers, on topics that are covered this month in Oprah. The first one, we are looking at the back of a young woman with blonde hair, and she has some rainbow stripes of dye. It's her hair's parted, and she's got pigtails that have been twisted around into little buns on each side of her head, just above her ears. Which hair makeover would you rather do? And 65% said a dramatic color change. 35% said chop off 6 inches. The question, are you into astrology? 34% said, wait, am I the lion or the ram? 66% said, I've memorized my entire birth chart. So that's 66%. Next question. Which would help you live a healthier life? 51% said being more active, and 49% said improving my mindset. And next question. How often do you cry? 70% said it doesn't take much to open the floodgates, and 30% said at weddings and funerals, max. And next to a picture of a bowl of macaroni and cheese with a nice little crumbly topping, question, if you could have only one comfort food, which would it be? 58% of readers said creamy, dreamy mac and cheese. And 42% said savory, flavory chicken soup. And now in the Love That section of the magazine, we have great buys under $100. And everything on this page is brown, red, and black, split cowhide, plaid flannel with a Western look. And as is general through the Oprah magazine, most of the items are pictured against a white backdrop. So at the top of the page, we have a mid-tan, that would be kind of teddy bear brown, wide-brimmed split leather, the soft side of the hide, cowgirl hat with black whip stitching on the edge of the brim, and a narrow black band just where the top meets the brim at $66. Here's the description. Contrasting whip stitching and a relaxed shape update the Western go-to. From the San Diego Hat Company, go to sandiegohat.com. And beside that, we have a kind of shiny red and black buffalo plaid, a very oversized, you know, buffalo plaid is sort of like just a check. It's a black on a red background. And this is a blouse, a halter top, with a tie at the neckline that solves. It's about a 6-inch wide tie. And there are soft gathers at the very top of the neckline and a few gathers under the sleeve. A tie blouse elevates buffalo plaid and works as well under a blazer as it does with jeans. And this is from Talbots.com, and it's $99. Now below that, say howdy to winter white pants, a fresh partner for all your chunky knits at chicos.com, and they're $90. So these have the cut of jeans with the top stitched zipper in the middle of the front and a big brass button, and the classic jeans pockets, which curve from the waistband down to the side, And then next, we have a big tote. Perfect for weekend fun, this faux cowhide tote is just the right, medium size, and it pairs nicely with neutrals. So it looks like a cowhide with the kind of ivory off-white background and brown splotches in kind of a chocolatey brown and a mid-tan. It is from Unbillion. Originally $115, now $92 with code OPRAH at ffcnewyork.com. Below this, we have a deep red crew neck sweater, and it's got two stripes across the middle of the front, kind of at the bust line. The top one's about 4 or 5 inches wide. It's a little bit lighter red, and then the stripe below that's a little bit darker red. So it's all very subtle, almost an ombre look. And it's a fuzzy sweater with ribbing at the hem and at the hem of the sleeves, and of course ribbing at the crew neck. The front's just a little bit shorter than the back, the way it's shown here. Brighten up sweater weather with a fuzzy pullover that provides a punch of color. Simply Vera Vera Wang, Kohl's.com, $64. And below this, we have a white booty that gives you a swanky dose of cowboy cool, Indigo RD at Macy's.com, they're $89. So it's a white leather booty, ankle boot, with a Western sole, black with a stacked heel, little bit tapered. And it has three skinny straps that go across the ankle and the arch with kind of an antique silver filigreed buckle. And those are $89. And at the very top of the page, we have a classic shirt dress in a dark brown and medium brown and off-white plaid. This is $30 at Target. And it's classic. The collar's a medium size. There's nothing particularly oversized or fashion statement-ish about any of its features. It has a narrow 2-inch self belt, classic styling in the sleeves and cuffs. And their description says the classic shirt dress feels more laid back in a lightweight flannel fabric. From Universal Thread at Target, $30. And we have a couple of gold hoop earrings, but they're a little bit squarish and very wide. And across the almost flat bottom, we have these, what they call little fringy twinkles. They are little diamond shapes that are looped in. They have little pave diamonds, diamond-like stones on them. These are $75 from loveaj.com. And now we also, another big buffalo plaid in a fleece short jacket from American Eagle. It zips up the front, sits just about at the waistline, has a couple of patch pockets. It's in black and white, and it is really oversized. It's $99. And we have a leather cuff bracelet. It says, go beyond bangles with a leather wrap bracelet from noondaycollection.com. It's $42. It's mid-tan. It's a skinny, maybe 3/4 inch wide, thick piece of leather that's wrapped three times around to give kind of a cuff look. And in the middle, it has a big brass loop. And all of this is inspired by a runway look, and we're shown here a model wearing a brown and white plaid with a couple of orange stripes in it. It's sort of a shirtwaist dress with, as you would expect, a real fashion look. It's a mini skirt. The skirt is asymmetrical with the plaid on the bias. The top, the bodice of the dress has big patch pockets that have been turned on the bias. And that is from 2019. And now we have Adam's style sheet. And this will finish up. Love that. And we have four casual looks here, laid back but luxe. These knit looks will keep you at the chic end of the comfort zone, whether you're jetting through the airport, brunch bound, or just lounging around. And the first is called Jazzed Up Joggers. So this is a pants and top set. The pants are really like both are a soft knit. And they're in a burgundy color. The pants have a tie waist. The top is a little bit full size with very, very long shoulder seams that hit around the middle of the upper part of the arm. There's a yoke that's almost in a V shape with a short zipper that comes just below the bust line up through the neck. You have this soft collar that folds back. And there is a chevron design in the ribbed front that adds a little bit of texture. And they show this with a big tote bag that has some color blocking, a bright pink asymmetrical sort of envelope flap over chocolate brown on the tote, and then a mid-tan leather mule with a tall stacked wooden heel. So here's the description. A matching cashmere set ups the sporty tracksuit vibe a few notches, especially with a heeled mule and a tonal top handle bag. Cashmere half zip, that would be the top, is $200. $200. The cashmere joggers are $150 from Filaro.com. The handbag is $490 at Pelletier.com. And the mule is $395 from SarahFlint.com. The next look is a one-piece wonder. And this is actually a two-piece set. There's the one-piece wonder with a long duster over it. It's in a deep, deep camel. A very dark tan, if you will. The one-piece wonder is a little bit like an oversized singlet that wrestlers wear, and has a wide scooped neck and ribbing at the ankles. And then the duster is in the matching soft knit with a deep ribbed hem. And of course, the hem comes, well, low, just above the ankles, and the sleeves are a raglan sleeve with the ribbing at the cuff. And they show this with a brown and tan and soft gray cashmere-looking scarf, very classic plaid scarf, and some sort of pewter silver ballet flats. Go first class in a plush camel jumpsuit paired with a coordinating duster and metallic flats. The cashmere cardigan is $325 and the cashmere jumpsuit's $195 at nakedcashmere.com. The scarf is $129 at garnethill.com and the ballet flats are aerosoles and they're $99. And the third look here is palazzos with panache. And this is a deep grapey purple ribbed turtleneck with kind of a chevron ribbing high at the waist, and that's about 4 or 5 inches wide, giving it a nice subtle detail. It's worn over some soft, dark gray trousers, a little bit of an oversized chocolate brown clutch with a couple of pleats in the leather, making it even squishier looking. And then again, another pewter colored shoe, but this is a slip-on with a quilted top and a tassel and a big white rubber sole showing. Here's how to make casual Fridays cozy. A thick turtleneck and flowy pants combo plus satiny slip-ons. The sweater's $225 at Thakoon.com. The pants are from Lafayette, 148 New York, and they're $348. Clutch is $480 at DeMillierLondon.com. The slip-ons are $150 from Colhan.com. And then down the side of the page, it says Roomy Mate. You know all about boyfriend jeans. Now meet the boyfriend cardigan. This new and improved versatile basic has a slightly oversized fit that's great for layering, and it's freshened up in lively colors and perky prints. And the first cardigan we see is $65 from Aerie.com. The sleeves are a little short, maybe 3/4 length, and they're full so that when at the narrow ribbing at the hem of the sleeve is almost gathered, and there are no buttons on this cardigan, and it's color blocked. So the top is ivory, and then there's this bright pink 4-inch stripe that goes across the bust line and the middle of the sleeve, and then the bottom's a real nice soft tan. The next cardigan is more classic, V-necked, and it buttons with 3 buttons, kind of low. It's kind of a low V-neck, and it's a black and white floral design with 2-inch black ribbing around the neck, all the way down the front, across the hem, and at the sleeves. Universal thread, it's $33 from Target.com. And then our final cardigan is very long with long sleeves, and it is in rainbow horizontal stripes, but in pastel colors. So it's kind of an orange sherbet and a lemon and a mint and a powder blue and a really soft lavender and pink. And it's $20 from shine.com. We have one more article from January's Feeling Good section. And then we are at What I Know for Sure from Oprah for January. And then we'll get into some of our December articles that we didn't read all of. And this is Can't Get No Satisfaction? A new book looks at why many women still aren't totally fulfilled in the bedroom and what they can do about it. Relatively speaking, it's a good time to be an American woman who likes a good time. Compared with past generations, we engage in a wider range of sexual acts. We take more initiative. We receive more oral sex. We put a greater premium on the quality of sex within a marriage. But while many will say they're having the most empowered intercourse of their lives, experts estimate that roughly 1/4 to 1/2 of American women experience a sexual concern, including low desire, diminished arousal, difficulty reaching orgasm, and pain. This is especially striking in comparison with men. Women tend to report less satisfaction with their most recent sexual encounter, as well as with sex throughout their lifetime. Journalist Catherine Rowland, whose background is in medical anthropology, devoted 5 years to researching women's erotic attitudes and experiences, sifting through the scientific literature, and conducting in-depth interviews about desire and pleasure with 120 women around the U.S. In her new book, The Pleasure Gap, American Women and the Unfinished Sexual Revolution, Rowland argues that we still have a ways to go before women reach their full erotic potential. She writes, quote, "The pleasure gap is not just a matter of how men and women compare," end of quote. It also refers to the disconnect between mind and body, or behavior and emotion, or between our actions and feelings. We talk to Rowland about why it's time to get hot and bothered about sexual gratification. And we have questions from the Oprah staff and answers from Rowland. The first question. You note that as a culture, we've become obsessed with the orgasm gap and making sure women are having as many as men. What are we missing when we focus on orgasms? Rowland says, by and large, women have a much more dynamic sexual range than men, and their experiences don't always follow the typical male linear progression from arousal to release. Some have never experienced an orgasm, while others are multi-orgasmic. Some require highly specific types of stimulation, while there are those who are able to simply think off. Many women experience pleasurable, orgasm-like sensations in body parts that are frequently neglected during sex. And then there are instances of women reporting orgasm during times when they're definitely not experiencing pleasure, even during a sexual assault. So fixating on the fairness of a one-to-one ratio of male-to-female orgasms wrongly suggests that erotic parity for women means experiencing sex just like men. The next question. Aren't orgasms one of the best ways we have to measure sexual fulfillment? Rowland says, yes, and they're extremely important to many, many women. But looking at orgasm as the ultimate barometer of women's satisfaction ignores the larger universe in which sexuality takes place, which is what allows women to derive pleasure and meaning from their encounters. It also dismisses the classical aspect of desire, the delight of wanting and of being wanted. Question. How does the American medical system evaluate women's sexual function? Rowland's answer. Years ago, when I worked as an assistant to a clinical psychologist and sex therapist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, I interviewed women being treated for gynecologic cancer about sexuality, fertility, and mortality, and I also reviewed the scientific literature about sexuality and illness. I was struck by the wide gulf in terms of how American versus European and Canadian researchers talked about female sexual function. In the U.S., it was highly medicalized. The language often framed women's sexual problems in terms of deficiency, insufficiency, or the result of female anatomy. Internationally, the focus was more relational. Doctors asked women questions like, are you happy in a sexual context? Has your partner found contentment as well? And then the next question. There are now two FDA-approved drugs to address premenopausal hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, which is defined as a lack of sexual desire that causes women psychological distress. Adderall, flibanserin, a daily non-hormonal pill, and Vyleesi, bromelanotide, is a libido shot injection at least 15 minutes before sexual activity. What's the problem with treating low desire with drugs? Rowland, again and again, research has shown there is no aspect of biology that governs desire, that it's contextual, relational, based on history, based on the meanings we individually ascribe to sex. So the very idea of desire is somewhat resistant to measurement and therefore to pharmaceutical intervention. It's also worth remembering that Adderall is a failed antidepressant, and Vyleesi was originally tested as a sunless tanning agent. Arousal was a side effect. Both drugs eventually came out of efforts to find a female equivalent to Viagra. Neither addresses women's pleasure. It's also important to consider what women with HSDD are actually distressed over. Is it low libido, or has the quality of sex changed with time and life circumstance, or do they want to be intimate with their long-term partner? Question. You cite a study of young adults that found that for each additional month women were in a relationship with their partner, their sexual desire decreased, while men's desire held roughly stable. You also mentioned research on adults showing that women's libido tends to go down when they stick with one person long term. What are some of the reasons for this? Roland, we have such heightened expectations for a modern partnership. We're not looking for just financial contribution, parenting help, companionship. We expect our partner to aid us in a quest for self-realization. It's quite beautiful, but also laden with pressure. And research suggests that in the process of getting to know each other's thoughts, dreams, behaviors, preferences, everything, we're erasing the sense of mystery that for many people, perhaps women especially, is crucial to sustaining eroticism and fascination. Now we have our next to the last question. Yet, interestingly, women who sleep exclusively with women tend to experience more pleasure than women who sleep with only men, with research suggesting they climax more than 75% of the time during sexual intimacy, compared with less than 65% of heterosexual women who usually or always achieve orgasm with a partner. Of course, there's the idea of expectation that self-identifying lesbians are more comfortable with the female body. But what else do these numbers suggest? Roland's answer. Women who sleep with women have often done more work thinking about what turns them on and makes them feel good than straight women have. On top of that, they tend to, more consistently, engage in a broader range of sexual acts than women who sleep with only men, for whom penetrative sex is either the default activity or the presumed main event. And we know that penis and vagina sex does not, on its own, have a great track record for conferring female pleasure, even though both men and women who sleep with them have been conditioned to perceive it as the capstone of intimacy. Women report needing other forms of stimulation, either in addition to or separate from penetrative sex, in order to fully enjoy themselves. And our final question, how can women realistically develop a better understanding of our desires? And Roland's answer, mindfulness. Learning to be wholly present during intimacy is emerging as the gold standard for treatment in the sex therapy realm. This involves learning to disengage from the ceaseless patter of the mind in order to pay attention to what's taking place in the body. So many of us have lost touch with ourselves. Honestly, the most powerful interventions I heard about from talking to clinicians, researchers, and women themselves involved simply learning or relearning how to feel. And now, finally, what I know for sure from Oprah, wrapping up the January issue. Oprah says, "On the road again. That's my theme song for the first few months of 2020. From January 4th through March 7th, I'll be traveling the country, preaching the gospel of health and wellness, and bringing along some great friends to help me spread the word. As I write this, Lady Gaga, Tina Fey, Julianne Hough, The Rock, Michelle Obama, and Gayle King all are confirmed. We're calling the tour 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus, which is what I want for you as much as I want for myself. What I know for sure, clarity, passion, commitment, reverence, and balance define a life well lived. I can think of no better way to start the new year than by helping other people see this light for themselves and not only meet their goals, but transcend them." There's a wonderful Bible verse, Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The tour is intended to renew mind, body, and spirit, reminding you of what you already know to be true about yourself. That's what an aha moment is, the recognition of something that lies hidden or buried. My dream is that the tour will serve as inspiration and motivation to take control and focus on what matters most to you, to get clear, to operate with intention, to take action, to move forward. So here we go. We're kicking off in Fort Lauderdale with Lady Gaga. In fact, I was just texting with her, and she's as excited as I am to share the wellness journey she says she works on daily. After Fort Lauderdale comes St. Paul, Charlotte, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Dallas, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and finally Denver. Let's claim the best we can give ourselves in 2020. Cue Willie Nelson. Just can't wait to get on the road again and hopefully meet you along the way. Oprah. And we have about a half a dozen pictures here of Oprah in a beautiful gold ball gown, standing on a stage with a microphone in her hand and her arm up, and also in a red long gown, kind of jersey slinky. Another one in a dark, dark gunmetal gray ball gown, very silky, satiny looking. And she's always on a stage with a microphone in her hand. And the captions say, sharing a moment during past tours from Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. And now, going back to December, let's pick up a couple of items from the world according to Gail. And under the heading stream, Gail says, after hashtag MeToo rocked morning news 2 years ago, I knew it was only a matter of time before the events inspired a series. In the Apple TV Plus drama, The Morning Show, popular anchorman Mitch Kessel, played by Steve Carell, gets the boot after a sexual misconduct scandal. Ambitious local newswoman Bradley Jackson, played by Reese Witherspoon, is added to the mix, and Mitch's longtime co-anchor Alex Levy, Jennifer Aniston, is just trying to survive. I met with Jennifer and the writing team when they were researching the role. Can't wait to see whether any of my suggestions made the cut. And next we have a picture of Celine Dion in tears and tears of deeply ruffled pink net. Nearly 22 years after Celine Dion released her Titanic theme song, her heart still goes on for the superstar. So I was thrilled to learn she was releasing new music and embarking on a world tour. Fun fact, I've seen Celine in concert 5 times, says Gail. The record is appropriately titled Courage, because I'm sure that's what it took for the mother of three to persevere after the death of Rene Angelil, her manager, her husband of 22 years, and the love of her life. Celine is clearly having a moment, and this album is the exclamation point of a great year. And under the heading Note, we have a picture of the cover of Robert Iger's book, The Ride of a Lifetime. And a quote, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. That's how Bob Iger, chairman and CEO of Disney, describes the meaning of integrity in his memoir, The Ride of a Lifetime. It's one of the 10 guiding qualities Bob believes any true leader must have, along with optimism, curiosity, and authenticity. May we all profit from his invaluable life lessons. And let's go to the Feeling Good section in the December 2019 magazine. And the first article is called The Gift of Health. Should you treat yourself or a loved one to a members-only medical plan? Christine Zalaka is thrilled with the care she receives at the medical practice where she's a patient. She says, quote, when I went in for my physical, my doctor asked about my mental health, and I admitted I was having a really tough year emotionally, end of quote. Zalaka, 36, is a marketing VP in Oakland. She goes on to say, she suggested seeing a therapist and sent me a recommendation that same day. Then she followed up to see how the sessions were going, end of quote. One Saturday, when Zalaka stepped on a nail, she texted the practice and within hours received a response from a nurse practitioner that her tetanus shots were up to date. She says, quote, "It feels like they sincerely care," end quote. This type of medical experience might sound like a happy delusion given our conveyor belt system of healthcare, which so often makes patients and providers alike feel rushed and unimportant. But for an increasing number of people, easy access to the family doc is actually becoming the norm, courtesy of what's called membership-based medicine. Patients pay a monthly or yearly fee in exchange for more individualized care. In the most basic form of membership medicine, your provider offers preventative care, screenings, and wellness support, and continues to bill your health insurance. You cover the membership fee and copays. With a direct primary care, DPC practice, there's no billing your insurance. In addition to your membership fee, you're often charged separately for services like blood work and lab tests. Concierge medicine is, as it sounds, the most luxe form of members-only health care. You pay a higher annual fee. Some elite offices in cities like New York and San Francisco may charge upwards of $80,000 in exchange for all-inclusive care and a greater breadth of services, perhaps home visits or health coaching, as well as unlimited access to your doctor via calls, emails, and texts. Nothing is billed to insurance, although a growing number are accepting Medicare. Membership in all models has its privileges. Same-day appointments and zero wait times are typical. 92% of DPC practices see patients the day they call, a 2015 survey found. Compare that with the average 29 days it takes to get in with a family physician, as reported in one 2017 survey. According to a study conducted by MDVIP, a network of concierge primary care physicians, 97% of MDVIP patients were satisfied with the relationship with their doctor versus only 58% in a traditional primary care practice, and 96% of MDVIP patients said they were satisfied with the personalized approach to their health needs. Albert Wu, MD, an internist and professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, says, quote, "Concierge and DPC patients generally seem happy. They're getting what they want, and it's offered in a transparent way," end of quote. Ideally, our health system would be simpler and fairer than it is now. But if you have the means, a medical membership might be a smart splurge for yourself or a healthy holiday gift for someone you love. And on the sidebar here, it says joining the club. These popular practices are accepting new members. One Medical, the practice costs $199 per year, and it works with most insurance plans and has a 60-plus locations in 9 cities. Forward is the next one, known for its tech-focused approach. Forward costs $149 per month, doesn't bill insurance, and has offices in New York City, LA, and San Francisco. Ms. Medicine, this woman-only org, charges $2,750 per year, doesn't bill insurance, and has practices in the Cincinnati and D.C. areas, and is expanding next year to Florida. And finally, Parsley Health, the integrative mind practice, has offices in New York, LA, and San Francisco. Its complete care membership costs $150 per month and doesn't bill insurance. And now in Feeling Good, still in December 2019, Health Hero, Getting the Words Out. A college student uses anonymous letters to help struggling young people feel seen. Dear stranger, an elephant wakes up in my head. I wonder what would happen if I tore this elephant out, dumped it onto a stretcher, and shipped it out of my brain. How would that weightlessness feel? Diana Chow was 14 years old when she typed these words in her yellow bedroom, decked out with stuffed animals and Hannah Montana posters. The ninth grader was a skilled photographer, a computer coder, a book blogger, but her inner world was turbulent. She said, quote, "I'd spend months thinking of all the reasons I deserve to die, then weeks feeling like I could do anything, like jump off a building and be okay, end of quote. Chow knew something was wrong. The year before she wrote about that elephant, a local psychologist had led a suicide prevention assembly at her school, and the warning signs he discussed, sudden moments of panic, out-of-control emotions, resonated. After the assembly, she secretly booked an appointment with the psychologist, paying with her earnings from coding and web design, who diagnosed her with bipolar disorder and advised her to seek treatment. But shame stopped Chow from getting help. She says, quote, "Not only are mental health issues stigmatized in America, but Asian culture often dismisses them as personal flaws or problems that can be fixed with tea or herbs," end of quote. Making matters worse, her family, who immigrated to California from China 5 years earlier, was living below the poverty line. Her parents worked 16-hour days, she was bullied at school, and she had just one close friend. Untreated, Chow's symptoms intensified, and she made several suicide attempts over the next 2 years, but she also started writing down her feelings as a form of emotional release. After stumbling across a few YouTube videos about journaling, in the spring of her freshman year, she started writing more often whenever she felt intense emotion. She usually began with, "Dear Stranger," because, quote, "I had to pretend there was somebody on the other side who cared about me," end of quote. In 2013, craving the intimacy of a real exchange, Chow started a club at her high school called Letters to Strangers, L2S. She says, quote, "I wasn't ready to reveal my illness, so I framed it as an educational writing experience," end of quote. Students met twice a month to compose anonymous Dear Stranger letters on topics of their choice, from breakups to finals stress. The teens then randomly distributed them to fellow members, reading and discussion, as well as empathy and relief, followed. Chow says, quote, "So many people wrote about emotional struggles that I started to feel like I wasn't really alone," end of quote. By the time she began studying at Princeton University in 2017, Chow had mustered the confidence to rebrand the club as a mental health organization. Today, L2S, with more than 30 student-run chapters on 6 continents, is a nonprofit focused on destigmatizing mental illness and increasing access to treatment. The Rutgers University Honors College chapter started a mental health task force. In Karachi, Pakistan, a high school chapter invited a psychiatrist to meet with students for the first time. Some L2S members also trade anonymous letters through the mail with community organizations like Anchor House, a safe haven for at-risk youth in Trenton, New Jersey. Case manager Heidi Bierblauer says, quote, "The anonymity removes a layer of discomfort the kids might have when speaking with a therapist while still providing them with a feeling of connection," end of quote. Chow, now 21, ended that early letter about the elephant in her head with, "I feel like I'm slipping. What am I going to do about it?" L2S is what she did, and now what thousands of other suffering young people can do, too. And on the sidebar, we have a quote from Diana Chow. "A stranger won't judge you, and the act of putting pen to paper gives you the time and space you need to work through your emotions." Let's skip over to Live Your Best Life briefly for My Best Life from December 2019. Emmy-winning actor Alex Borstein, who plays the profanely funny Susie Meyerson in Amazon's The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, on what she can't live without. Distracted pedestrians. Seeing somebody fall or walk into a streetlight because they're looking at their phone always tickles me. Sometimes if a person is just about to crash into me, I'll loudly clap or shout, "Hey!" They almost have a heart attack, but I get such a kick from it. Does that make me a terrible person? Another thing she can't live without, my parents. My mother and father are my sounding board. I bring just about every question and decision to them. They're both therapists, so they're good at listening and giving advice. Growing up, the phrase, "Let's talk about this," was used quite often. Every once in a while, I'd be like, "Could you guys just spank us instead?" Next, hanging with my girlfriends. I'm lucky to have a lot of brilliant women in my life, and I love bringing them together. We're all mature, interesting, smart people. None of us want anything from each other. None of us are doing or wearing anything to impress. It's pure casual joy. And the next thing she can't do without, my grandmother's ring. It reminds me of her because she always had it on when I visited. I think she had it made from diamond earrings her husband gave her before he perished. Most of her family was wiped out in the Holocaust, and when she got to New York, she had to work and take care of two kids in a tiny apartment with no furniture. One of the first things she bought when she had any money was a piano. She believed that the arts, music, and the ability to create things were just as essential as food and water. And she also can't do without sleep. It's my unapologetic weekend indulgence. That's a middle-aged woman's answer, I know. Well, honestly, it's that and ice cream. And a final quote of what she can't live without, courage. I'm not saying we all should be fearless. I don't actually believe in fearlessness because fear is designed to keep you alive. But we do need the courage to fight the right battles. From December's refresh section, we have a little item here, how food will travel. Bars and trail mixes are easy to toss in your carry-on, but their sweeteners can also cause your blood sugar to surge and your energy to eventually dip. Stay fueled on the fly with our savory portable picks, and there are four of them here. Perky jerky, Wagyu beef jerky. O's staffers went wild for these tender strips. Shout out to the truffle and thyme flavor. And each serving has 10 plus grams of filling protein and 1 to 2 grams of sugar, less than most meat treats. They're $7 per bag at perkyjerky.com. The second one, Sutton Farms seasoned pistachio kernels. Nuts are high in protein and fiber, and these shell-free pistachios offer unexpected taste combinations like chili lemon and garlic onion, making them especially satisfying. $8 per pouch, and you can get them at Amazon.com. The third one, Biana Chickpea Snacks. With flavors like Rockin' Ranch and barbecue, these crunchy roasted chickpeas, available in individual packs, ideal for on-the-go munching, are a higher protein, 6 grams, higher fiber, 6 grams, cure for chip cravings. $2 per pack at BianaSnacks.com for stores. And finally, Rick's Picks Snacking Pickles. These crisp spears have just a few ingredients. Cucumbers, brine, and natural flavors, and come in zingy varieties like cumin lime dill and spicy sriracha. They're low in liquid, too, so they won't make a mess of your travels. $15 for a 5-pouch variety pack, and you can get those at Amazon.com. And still in December's refresh section, we have the number 12 in a circle at the top of a sidebar. That's how many minutes of compassionate thinking it takes to make spirits brighter, per a recent study out of Iowa State University. For that time span, students walked around campus and either silently wished for people they passed to be happy, practicing what the researchers called loving kindness, or considered what they might share with others, interconnectedness. Compared with participants who focused on appearance-based attributes like clothes, the loving kindness bunch was happier and less anxious, and both groups felt more socially connected, a known mood booster. Our take, mental goodwill towards humans might be the best gift you can give yourself and the rest of us this year. And still in December's refresh section, naughty or nice, on the Christmas theme, we ask the experts whether the latest activated charcoal products are worth it. Lumps of coal are bad news at Christmas, but should you hope for charcoal soaps, face masks, or toothpastes in your stocking? It depends. The trendy ingredient can indeed benefit your complexion by drawing out excess oil and bacteria, but if your skin's dry or sensitive, it could cause flaking or irritation, says Gretchen Freeland, MD, a dermatologist in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Dental products come with bigger risks. A 2017 review in the Journal of the American Dental Association found that charcoal-based toothpaste may wear down enamel with regular use. And even though charcoal can erase surface stains, like red wine at holiday parties, it may create new stains in some patients, says Janet Yu, a dentist in New York City. For a truly brighter smile, you need a substance that whitens teeth from the inside too, like a hydrogen peroxide solution, says you. The verdict, until research says otherwise, charcoal toothpastes and mouthwashes probably don't deserve precious space in your medicine cabinet. As we come to the end of this fifth installment, let's listen to an answer or two from this month's question, what was your most memorable New Year's Eve? From Charlotte Elliot in Nebo, North Carolina, she says, the year I visited my daughter in Hong Kong, we walked down to the waterfront and watched a light show shoulder to shoulder with more people than I've ever seen. At the stroke of midnight, everyone pulled out confetti and silly string, and we couldn't even see each other through it all. Barbara Bell of Savannah says, when our kids were little, we set the clock ahead 4 hours, counted down until midnight, in air quotes, let them bang on pots and pans, then put them to bed. It was 8 o'clock. Afterwards, my husband and I celebrated in peace. April Gay of Manchester, Maine says taking a polar bear dip in the ocean at midnight in Maine. Mary Zaytunian of Lexington, Massachusetts says, the year we moved from Florida to Boston, we left 80-degree weather and we were greeted by 9 degrees in a snowstorm. We moved into a rented house we hadn't seen and we didn't have jobs. For New Year's Eve dinner that year, we went to the Vernon Diner in Connecticut. I remember that meal like it was yesterday. 10 years later, I'd say our move was the best leap of faith we ever took. And with that, we run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.